Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 12th, 2022. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter A Vision for You. We're on page 158 and we're going to be way down in paragraph 5 today. And it begins with, "So you see, there were three alcoholics in that town." And then ends at the top of 159 with where he occupied the very room recently. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Pam M., the 12 Traditions, Leslie M., and reading the text today and support is Barbara W., Dion R., Eileen M., listen for Kaylee for greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information, and then Robin T. will end us out this morning with announcements. So listen for that as well. Yesterday's, let me hang on just a second. I've got one thing I want to get. Okay, yes. Yesterday's share ID number for Tuesday, the 11th of January, is 18388, 18388. And then this morning's at 7 o'clock meeting, the 12th, which is Wednesday, that share ID number is 18395, 18395. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pam M. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York, living in 10, 11, and 12. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Pam M. from New York. I will now ask Leslie M. from New York to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. from New York. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And that is just a gentle reminder that the star 1 key function is the only real means of disconnecting from any kind of disturbance on the line and for the recording. So please exercise that one. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter of Vision for You on page 158, the fifth paragraph that begins with, so you see, there were three alcoholics in that town, and ends at the top of page 159, which says, where he occupied the very room recently vacated by the lawyer. And I'd like to ask Barbara W. to open up by reading that particular paragraph and describing her experience with application of that paragraph to her life. Hi, Barbara. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you for your service. It's always great to be with other recovering compulsive overeaters. So you see, there were three alcoholics in that town who now felt they had to give to others what they had found or be sunk. After several failures to find others, a fourth turned up. He came through an acquaintance who had heard the good news. He proved to be a devil-may-care young fellow whose parents could not make out whether he wanted to stop drinking or not. They were deeply religious people, much shocked by their son's refusal to have anything to do with the church. He suffered horribly from his spree, but it seemed as if nothing could be done for him. He consented, however, to go to the hospital where he occupied the very room recently vacated by the lawyer. Oh, boy. And that lawyer was AA number 3, Bill B. And
I can see this fourth person made a decision, and I think
Barbara, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. We're not able to hear you very well. I don't know if you're on speakerphone or something, but it's very difficult to hear.
Is that better?
It seems to be so far. Yeah, keep going.
Okay, I apologize. The other thing I notice is that after several failures to find others, and that sounds very much like what Bill W. went through at the beginning of his time in the infancy of our AA program. Word of mouth is obviously what brought this young gentleman to the group, and you just never know the personalities that came into this program at the beginning. You just never know. One was a lawyer. We don't know much about number four but he knew he was probably in his late adolescence and really did care what his parents thought. But something moved him to find a place in the AA program as AA number four. The way I relate to this, I think, I've been in program many, many, many years, and with Vision a little over 2 years. And I see what I relate to, wanting to sponsor. I hear about people sponsoring, let's say, three or four or five people.
And I put myself as a sponsor, and I'm now sponsoring one person and then one very once a week. And I've always wanted to sponsor someone to start at the beginning. Is jumping in and wanting to know about this program, vision program. And
couldn't hear her.
Hello?
Hi, Barbara.
Was that a call at time?
Well, it will be here in about 3 seconds, but someone who was just suggesting again they were having a difficult time hearing you. Maybe you walked away from your phone again or something. But
my phone slides down, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
With that, I pass.
Okay. Started this morning. Thank you so much. Okay, so, yes, thank you so much, and I will be happy to let folks know if they're not heard or whatever. We'll take care of all that for you folks out there, not to worry at all. We'd like to open it now for those that were ready to share on that particular paragraph, which is paragraph 5 on page 158, which opens up with, so you see there were three alcoholics in that town. If you'd like to share, love to hear you. Give us your first name, the first initial of your last name, your time zone, or state and time zone, I guess, would be great, would be helpful. Not your time zone, but just your state, I think. And then I want to also offer this piece. We do value everyone's experience here, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well, because we have over 200 people on this line each and every day. So I'm ready to take some names.
Larry G.
I know that Larry G was not the first one I heard, but I want to go back to the first few. I'll put Larry G and Cynthia, third and fourth positions.
Arlene B, California.
Arlene.
Noelle E.
Donna W.
Louisiana.
Noelle, uh-huh. And Donna, we'll get that one. Donna W.
Robin P.
Robin.
Teresa C.
Teresa C.
Arlene B, Los Angeles.
I think I did get you, Arlene. I think I have you as number one, unless there are two Arlenes. Were there two Arlenes? Okay, good deal. Okay, let's start with this line up here. I have Arlene B, Noelle, Donna, Larry, Cynthia, Robin, and Teresa. Everyone else except for Arlene, please press star one. Go ahead, Arlene. You can press star one to unmute.
Oh, hi. My name is Arlene B from Los Angeles, California, and you know, when I was listening to that reading, I think what it really spoke to me was saying to carry a message, because nobody can hear it unless somebody carries it. And, you know, I appreciated when I first came on this line and I got a lot of phone calls, and it just reminds me that I need to carry the message. I was on a meeting just before this, and a woman was new, and I put my name down and my phone number, and I said, call me if you'd like. And I find that I'm reaching out to people who say, oh, I don't have a sponsor, or I'm new in program. I may not be able to be their sponsor, but I can certainly reach out to them. And, you know, even though we have our literature, this really is a word of mouth is how we hear this. And I really appreciate that, and I appreciate being in this program. So I'll pass on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arlene, for sharing this morning. Next up is Noel.
Hi, this is Noel E., compulsive overeater, recovering in Louisiana. Oh, thank you for everybody's service on this line. Every day that you guys do it was so appreciated. What stood out to me in this paragraph was he proved to be a devil may care young fellow whose parents could not make out whether he wanted to stop drinking or not. You know, I am in my family of origin, the youngest. And just, you know, I was going to dry wells to quench my thirst for so long. And now that higher power has brought me here and, you know, not only shown me that I'm seen, but that I have something I can offer by carrying the message. It's just, I don't need to be understood by anybody else, you know? The desire to be understood or seen or taken seriously is just evaporated when I see that, you know, carrying this message to, you know, those higher power intends to hear it is just the complete purpose of this book. My recovery is almost a bonus, you know, for getting to be able to see people recover and to help people, you know, find higher power's voice in their life. It is such a privilege and something that I love that this, you know, this part of the book, that it talks about a young person, you know, because when you are young, people assume you know nothing. And this is just a generous gift of Bill and the people that wrote this book to acknowledge that this message can be carried by anybody. And we all have exactly what we need inside of us. And so, yeah, I'm grateful to be of service. I'm grateful for everybody on the line today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Noel E. from Louisiana. Donna W., you're next, and then Larry will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. I'm grateful for my abstinence and my recovery for today. And, what I learned from this passage is, like, I can't do this on my own. I need others. And, you know, this is a disease of isolation. And if I could have figured it out on my own, believe me, I would have, because I like to figure things out on my own. That's where I go. And so, one, I need to have a higher power, which, you know, is an ongoing challenge and opportunity for me, because I want to figure everything out on my own. And two, I get to reach out and ask for help. And then three, I get to offer help to others. So, it really gets me out of myself, even just like I have a list of people I'm praying for. Like, I am so self-centered and self-reliant. It just to look, even just to glance at that list to like go, oh yeah, other people are dealing with things. It's not just, the world isn't just about me and my things. is really helpful. And then also, you know, through program, I get to learn about what other people are dealing with. So it helps put my stuff in perspective. And then I get to meet people of all backgrounds and ages. And it's just really awesome because I would probably never have met people, you know, our paths would never have crossed. So there's a lot of blessings there. And then I want to turn over that I've been dealing with long COVID or COVID long haulers for coming up to 23 months now. I've been feeling very alone in that, and I'm doing more to reach out and tell people that that's what I've been dealing with. I've been having a lot of health issues, and if there's anyone who's been dealing with that that wants to connect, I'd love to connect. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna W. from California. Next up is Larry G., also from California, and then Cynthia C., you'll follow Larry in 3 minutes.
Good morning. This is Larry G. from California. I'm so grateful to be on this call today. It says here, who now felt that he had to give to others what they had found or to be sunk. This has been the game changer for me. This is, well, I think, that really distinguishes Visions from other fellowships, is that our purpose, I believe, in Visions is to get recovery and immediately commence working with others. And that's been the joy for me, because my past 26 years in OA, it was all about me. It was commenced working with Larry, not with others. And today, the joy for me is working with other compulsive beaters. And this is our legacy. This here was our legacy. One drunk talking to another. One compulsive eater talking to another. This precedes meetings. It precedes the big book. And I love the fact that our Visions, I believe, is modeled on the first 100. Which is we take people to the steps as quickly as possible, and then we get out there and make restitution. We then start helping others, and we continue to seek God. You know, Bill took Bob through the four propositions of the Oxford group, which was surrender, sharing, restitution, and guidance. Surrender is steps 1, 2, and 3. Sharing is 4 and 5. Restitution is 8 and 9, and guidance is 11. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that the days are gone. The days of spending a year and a half of walking through the steps, spending time reading outside literature on some self-proclaimed guru on a step. I'm so glad those days are gone. My sponsor took me through steps as fast as we could go. My sponsor did when I called my sponsor and I asked to write a 10-step. I'm not writing a book. I'm writing a very simple 10-step. And again, the key, the end game of my that 10-step is to resolutely turn my attention to helping other people. I was in a bad place yesterday, really a bad place. It was really dark here where I live, and I was dark inside. I was full of self-pity. And I finally just said, Larry, stop it. You know, I got my binder out and I started calling people, and immediately it lifted. And whatever I was feeling was gone. I don't even remember what it was about, but it's that commence working with others. It's just been an absolute gift that I get to give this away and be compassionate and be loving and kind to the compulsive eater who still suffers, because that's what you've been to me. You've been nothing but kind, compassionate, and loving to me, and I thank you for that, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Cynthia C., you're up next, and then Robin P., you'll follow right after.
Thank you so much for your service, moderator, and everybody for making this meeting happen today and every day. This is Cynthia C. from Newton, Massachusetts. There's two Cynthia C.'s, so in Massachusetts. So I'm so grateful for this meeting and for this passage that we're reading. I think I'm going to repeat what other people said just because I relate to it so much. I mean, this, you know, this idea that you know, it took them a little while to find people, and that, you know, and that we need each other, you know, that we need each other, that we need each other, you know. They weren't finding, there were just a few of them, you know, and then finally someone came there, and I think, you know, he devil may care, and the parents don't know whether he wants to quit or doesn't want to quit, and I can relate to that. Like, there were so many years, there was 20 years I was in relapse, and I didn't know, did I want to stop eating compulsively? Did I not want to stop eating compulsively? Do I want to let go of the sugar? I knew that there was something else out there, you know, and they didn't. They didn't have the solution that we had. I mean, this was novel for them. I'm grateful that today, you know, it's not novel. Like, we have this big book that certainly leads my life today. My life is guided by the principles in the big book, and I get to, and I've changed. I mean, so much of my life has changed because other people were there for me, because other people reached out to me, because I came on this line, and I went to other meetings, but mostly coming onto this line and saying I'm new and asking questions and people calling me and reaching out to me. And, you know, I wasn't ready until I was ready. I wasn't ready until I was ready. And I was in relapse for 20 years. And there was nothing that anybody could have said or done during those 20 years to make me ready. You know, I needed to get ready. It needed to be between me and my higher power. I needed to be willing to, like, no, I hit my bottom and I had enough and I can't do it anymore. And it's important for me to remember that, because when I sponsor people, or when people call, you know, when I do outreach calls or people call me, you know, I had a conversation with someone recently, and, you know, I was offering what I could offer to do to help, and they clearly weren't ready, and that's okay. Like, in that moment in time, they weren't ready. Maybe I planted a seed, maybe not, you know, like, I just shared my experience, strength, and hope, and they weren't ready, and like, that's okay, because I don't know what's best for anybody else. But I do know today that if I'm in need, that you guys are there for me, that there are people I can reach out to, that I can make my voice heard. And I look at my life today, and I, you know, I'm so grateful. I came in this program angry and bitter and furious, and today my whole life has shifted, and that's a miracle from this program and for people being there for me. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Next up for 3 minutes is Robin P., and then followed by Teresa. I think it's Teresa C. And then after that, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 5, page 158 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it begins with, so you see, there were three alcoholics in that town. We're unpacking that one paragraph today, so you want to get ready. 6 minutes, you'll be up. Hi, Robin.
Hey, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service all the time. God bless you so much. And for everyone who's doing service on this line. You know, I was thinking about the line where it says, who now felt they had to give to others what they found or be sunk. We can only keep this by giving it away. And even if it means just calling newcomers, you know, there, I started doing this a little while ago again where, you know, I get the numbers of the newcomers who announce themselves and just reach out and just anything that we can do, you know, and after several failures to find others, a fourth turned up. I've sponsored people who just weren't ready at various times. And, you know, I asked, my sponsor always asked me, that was her only question that she asked me, are you willing to go to any lengths to recover? And that's what I ask sponsees, you know. And sometimes wholeheartedly they say yes, and then something happens where they're not willing to go to any lengths anymore, you know. And it's such a great opportunity for me to pray and attach with love and just know that I can only carry the message. I can't carry the person. And the people who do recover, so inspiring. Other people's recoveries are so inspiring to me, and it's very disheartening when people aren't ready. But the key here is, after several failures to find others, a fourth came up, is perseverance, and one day at a time, just keep showing up. And I was thinking about how the devil may care, young fellow. His parents must have prayed so much for him. And I know people have prayed for me, and I pray for other people, and that there's power in that prayer. You know, they were deeply religious people. And, you know, and he was suffering so much, but he had to hit bottom. He had to be done, you know. And when he was ready, this miracle, you know, I always think of God as the great orchestra conductor in the sky, you know. I always joke around with my husband, bring in our last name's Palmer, bring in the Palmers, and then bring in the Smiths. Like, sometimes there are these divinely timed meetings that you just know without God, they wouldn't have happened, and they were just perfectly timed. So God bless everybody with a really blessed afternoon day. I'm so grateful for this meeting. Thanks again for your service, everybody.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Teresa C., you're up next, and then we'll take about four, maybe five more folks after you, the time will allow. Remember, we're on paragraph five, page 158 today. We're unpacking that single paragraph today. Hey, hi, Teresa.
Hello, good morning. This is Teresa C. from New Jersey, compulsive overeater and food addict in recovery for today. The thing that stuck out for me in this paragraph is the after several failures to find others. I truly found it a blessing to be able to work with others in this program, and knowing that when I work with them, it's the only way that I keep my program going. And when I'm not working with someone, I really do feel differently, like there's a desire to do that because I know that that keeps my program strong. But I just kind of am thinking for people who are just beginning to sponsor, and I know that I went through it for a long time. I didn't have sponsees. And then I came to Visions, and I put my name out there, and, it was a while before I found somebody. And then, I've worked with some people, but there's been kind of, dry spots in between when I have time to work with somebody, and I put my name out there. And it's just kind of that anticipation of when am I going to find someone, when is my higher power going to bring us together? And just wanted to encourage people who are having problems at this moment in finding others to work with to just keep persevering because, even Bill had failures and times when he wasn't working with as many people as he could. And I guess that's what I wanted to say. So I'll pass on that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Teresa C. from New Jersey. Okay, the lines are open for additional four or five people to comment on paragraph 5, page 158. And just want to let you know, we do respect all folks' experience here, but yet we ask that each one limit your share to every third day in order that others that want to can share their experience as well, since we have over 200 people oftentimes on this particular line. Hey, Deanna, heard you. And who's next?
Shlomi Khanna.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce E., right?
I didn't hear you, but I do now. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Christine, let's go with one more possibly and see what happens. I got you, Christine A. Everyone else, if you press star one on your phone keypad, that would
Alexis,
be great.
Alexis,
I'm sorry,
F.
Alexis, I'm so sorry. We're not going to have time for a sixth today, but I'll keep you on there in case miracles happen, right?
Thank you.
First up is Dion R., Lisa B., Shlomi Khanna, Bruce E., and Christine. So let's start with Dion and everyone else. Star one to mute your line. Hey, Dion.
Hey, Melanie. Good morning, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Dion R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Mm. And what I like about this paragraph of, as they say, dissecting it, pulling out what works for me and sharing my experience, but then I'll believe it or not, it's that part where it says the devil may care, character. I mean, devil may care, young fellow. And, of course, which I've learned a few years back about how to pull up that big book dictionary, that concordance. And in it, it says it means a devil may care, because I'm like, what does that mean? Just didn't know, the language they used back then. And it says, like, careless. Reckless, I can relate with that. Easy going, and I should be doing something and I'm not, just passive. And then carefree, don't give a crap, or in la la land. Oh, everything's sunshining. I'm not eating too much. I'm not breaking out of a chair, denial. So that I get it. He was just like reckless all over the place. And the gift is, and even though he was young, doing all those things as I once was, he still became number four, And that's the beauty at the end of it. He became another person, you know, who caught it. After, like many people have shared earlier, many tries and many failures of Bill, but there was that one, you know, and we don't know how many seeds Bill had planted, because look at us today, you know, and I like that. I identify in for me as a compulsive overeater, and I didn't care, and I'm only going to take what I want, what you share, and I'm only going to apply it the way I want to, and that kept me in a world of misery and pain and digging myself a deeper hole for 20-some years before I said, oh, wait a minute, let me stop, you know, and my parents were religious. It didn't matter. I couldn't see the truth until I was ready. And that's the gift of this program and all, especially vision, giving back what was free. Like someone said, give to others or be sunk. That's why I do it. But the ones who I've seen do it, they have a relatively happy life, or are they still here? And in spite of it all, and there's so many people I've met in Overeaters Anonymous have so much to give. And just to be able to be a part of this blessing and see new people come on and carry the message is just a joy I'm glad I didn't miss. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Melanie, for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Dion R. Dion R. is from Ohio. Next up is Lisa B. from South Carolina, and Shlomit Hanna will follow her. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service and everyone that's here doing service and being here with me. My name is Lisa. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I am recovered, and I'm so grateful for that. And it says here, let's see here, after several failures to find others, you know, sometimes it's a lot of work. It can be an effort to get a sponsee. It really can be an effort. And when people say, oh, I'm on my 12th step, you know, I'm going to get a sponsee. And I always say, well, you know, it can be hard. It can be difficult to get a sponsee. And I have to pray and ask God to put me, you know, in front of the right people. I ask God every day, show me how I can be useful to the next still suffering compulsive overeater and the next still suffering alcoholic. Who needs what I have to offer? And I don't know who that's going to be. And I ask for the willingness, but I have to make the effort. I call newcomers, I share, I do service so that my voice can be heard. And, you know, sometimes people will text me and they'll say, I heard you. And it's wonderful. It helps me so much when people do that, because it gives me an opportunity to be useful. And I have to be useful. I'm happiest when I am being useful. I find that my liabilities are really in the forefront. They're really thriving when I am not doing things for other people, especially other compulsive overeaters and other alcoholics. It just keeps me useful and sane, and it's such a joy, you know, and that's what I wanted to share. And I went through a dry period where I was really having a hard time finding a sponsee, and I just kept making outreach calls and finding ways to connect with newcomers and people struggling so I could share with them, you know. It's amazing how it works, but that just seems to be what is there. And the more I give, the more I get. It's like this bottomless space. It just keeps getting filled up, and then I keep giving it and giving it, and I keep getting filled up. But when I stop giving it, it starts to dry up, and then I'm not feeling as comfortable. But I can't rely on just 12-step work. You know, I really have to have that step 10 and 11 there too, for sure, because I've tried that where it's just using 12 steps. Step 1 and step 12. But I just felt led to share and to claim my seat, and I'm glad to be here with all of you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Next up is Shlomit Hanna, and then Bruce, you'll follow her in 3 minutes. Hi, Shlomit Hanna.
Thank you, Melanie. So good to hear you. So good to hear everybody. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. So what really resonated with me was something a little bit different. This line here, that he suffered horribly from his sprees, but it seemed as if nothing could be done for him. To me, it just reminds me of the powerlessness, our powerlessness over this disease. You know, a little earlier in the paragraph, it said that he had a devil-may-care attitude. And yet, later on, it says that he suffered horribly. And, you know, I hear people all the time talking about willingness, you know, to get better, willingness to do whatever it takes to shut out this disease. And, you know, personally, I don't necessarily think that sometimes when people are in their disease that they're not willing. I think that it's more a question of powerlessness because, you know, like this paragraph is saying, that he suffered. It's not like he had a devil-may-care attitude, right? But he suffered, which means that he was not completely, you know, nonchalant about this disease. Deep down, he probably really did want to recover, just as all of us really want to recover. But the powerlessness over this disease is so insidious, it's so powerful, it's so difficult, that until we actually start the recovery process and bring God into the picture, we don't have a chance. We really don't. And, you know, I'm saying this to myself as much to really more to myself than anybody else, that the answer is in the recovery, in working the steps and in getting that close connection to God and letting God in. I really believe with all my heart that every single person who is in the clutch of disease wants to get out of it. I believe that. But sometimes they just can't. And the truth is that none of us can without the steps and without, especially really without higher power. So thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Shlomi Tana from Pennsylvania. Bruce E., you're up for 3 minutes. And then hopefully Christine will have time for you. We'll check the time when Bruce is finished. Hi, Bruce.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Mel. Thanks, everybody on the line. And I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered in Fort Myers, Florida. And, yeah, I see here where this guy, devil-may-care young fellow, I mean, it's amazing, you know, here's these three, I guess, older guys anyway, older than him anyway. And here's this young guy that pops up here, religious family. They're shocked because their son wasn't giving up this drinking, but he suffered horribly from his sprees. So maybe he's hit enough bottoms here to where he's ready. He's in the same room that I guess Bob was in, which must have been kind of a surprise to them. I mean, the guy, they're back in there talking to a guy and telling their experience with him right back in the same room that that Bill was in. Yeah, Bill was in that room, right, the attorney Bill. So that must have been interesting. But I notice here where it says at the beginning of the reading, they had to give to others what they had found or be sunk. So they understood that, you know, they needed to find somebody that they could share this with. And they had a number of failures, which, you know, they didn't give up. They had failures. I've had a lot of failures. I mean, I've had a lot of relapses, and I've had a lot of failures. But finally, somebody comes along, you know, and I'm going along here. I'm looking for somebody, looking for somebody, looking for somebody I can share with. And a guy appears. And now I'm working with, so it just felt like when I wasn't working with somebody, something was missing from my recovery. And now that I'm working with somebody, I'm feeling better about things. And it sounds like, it seems to me like I need to always be working with somebody, unless I'm in relapse, you know, well, then I'm working with a sponsor then, but I always have to be working with somebody to make it work. And So these guys realized they had to do that, and they weren't prejudiced about who they were going to find. It didn't have to be somebody their age. It could be somebody young, and this guy comes along. I hope he makes it. I'm not sure who this is, but I hope he makes it. I guess he does, because he's the fourth one. And he suffered enough to where he maybe was ready to say, I give up. I'm ready to
take
this.
That would be
this step. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate that. Bruce E. from Florida. Christine, you're up next. Are you from Arizona?
Yes, this is Christine from Arizona. I mainly just wanted to get on and say howdy, and I do want to be a useful person in my community, and that just feels so much better than the bedevilments. That's one of the things that says, you know, not useful, encouraging to anybody, you know, and that really caused me a lot of pain. And so it's just last couple of days, and even the week before, I've been you know, it's the new year, so people are asking me, well, how are you keeping your weight off and stuff? And so I've just been able to share a lot, and it does give me a lot of joy and everything. And I also want to add, I am a Christian, and I really value that a lot, but I know a lot of people are really bothered by religious people and stuff, but I just encourage, you know, the big book does encourage to go back to your roots and go back to, you know, taking what those people offer, and that they're generally happy people. So thank you so much for everybody that serves and everything for being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Christine H., it looks like, from Arizona. Thank you so much. I just want to remind folks that we are very, very careful to not bring in outside influences on the line here when we're speaking. Everybody's in general and encouraged to believe the higher power there. And it looks like we might have 1 minute, Alexa. I'm giving a call out for Alexa for 1 minute share. Do you want to take that, or would you like to pass?
I'll take that. Thank you.
Okay. Ready, set, go.
This is Alexa Zeff from New Jersey. And I don't think that it's people don't want to recover. I think it's they're not ready to recover, and they have to suffer a little bit more. And there's nothing that we can do about that but pray for them. I remember my first successful sponsee and what a joy it was. I looked forward to her calls whenever she did call. She didn't call me every day. And when she did, it was always a joy to talk to her. And I remember when she said, Eureka, I found them. I found God. And I said, someday you'll know the joy yourself of that feeling when you have a sponsee and they say that to you. And you made me very happy today, and I hope you are too. And I found the only
That's
thing
common.
I can do is relate to people.
Alexa,
relate to
time.
Them. That's time. Thank you.
That's your 60th. Sorry about that, Alexis. Okay, thank you so much. Alexis F. from New Jersey. Thank you for your 60-second share there. And that closes the sharing portion of our meeting this morning. Thank you to all that shared. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get some great newcomer information and, most importantly, some sponsor contact information and get some announcements here, because things are always happening here at A Vision for You. But in the meantime, as we close out this recorded portion, I would like to call on Dion R., please, to read page 164, and then we'll join in the Serenity Prayer together after. Good morning, Dion.
Yes, hi, good morning. This is Dion R., from Ohio. Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. Get your own houses in order. But obviously, excuse me, you cannot transmit something you haven't. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. Excuse me. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, and I'll pass. Thank you.